In a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and today's fruit is patience. So we're going to be talking about patience, and some of you are shaking your head. I don't know if that means you don't want patience, or you're not sure about it, or you're not quite there yet, but we'll be talking about it anyway, and hopefully you will go out of here glad that you came and we're in the house of the Lord this morning. So we gather because we are a community of people who love Jesus Christ. We gather because God tells us to gather together and celebrate His goodness, His love, His grace, His mercy often. Today, too, we have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper in communion together. So that will be a wonderful time as well.
Let's continue in worship with a time of prayer. Almighty God, beginning and end, healer, provider, redeemer, and friend. As we gather here now, please come to us too. May our worship and praise be pleasing to you. Dear God, we thank you that we can worship you. We thank you that we can gather together openly in a warm, dry sanctuary in a land where the government protects our right to worship you. Do not let us take such freedoms for granted. Thank you for the successes we heard from Rancho Santa Marta team last week. We pray that you would continue to bless those children, provide for them and love them as only you can. We pray for this church, for the many activities we are planning for. We pray for tables of eight, for Wednesday recharge, for the women's retreat, for Easter week and the teddy bear fair. We pray that these would not just be activities to keep us busy, but they would be meaningful times that draw people here and that they may connect people to you, that many will experience your love and discover your good and wonderful plan for their lives. We pray that these times would be times when relationships would be formed and strengthened. We pray that these events would bring glory to you. We remember those in our church who need you in specific ways, for the sick, for the unemployed, for the hurting, for the lonely. We all have God-sized holes in our hearts. Please fill them, for we cannot fill them on our own. As we entered into our season of Lent this past week, we pray that the love you showed on Good Friday and the power over death revealed on Easter would remind us every day that you are willing and able to help with any problem that comes our way. For you did not spare your own son, but delivered him up for us all. So now we know that you will one day, along with him, freely give us all things according to your great love for us. We continue to pray for our country, for the divisions and the turmoil, for the critical decisions that need to be made, for the problems that we have created that only you can solve. Please save us from ourselves, for without you to guide us, humankind will continue to make things worse. So we pray that you will speak to us and guide us and give us wisdom. Let your people shine your light in this world so that the world may glorify you. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, for he proves your love for us. He offers us a hope that can be found in nothing else. He is the answer to our deepest problems. He fills the longing of every human heart. And it is his name we pray, the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And our second reading is from Romans 8, 22 to 25. Through the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. through the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. We know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inward as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we will wait for it patiently. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
So we're talking about mastering the art of patience. That was 90 seconds of unprogrammed space. Did you get a little jittery there, wondering what was happening? It's actually a pause in the service where the Holy Spirit might actually have some space to work a little bit. Did you think I'd fallen asleep maybe? Gone home, perhaps? Maybe, you know, the rapture had come and I was taken and you were, well, whatever. That pause, that waiting though, that lull in the business as usual, right? The lack of immediate results. Yikes, how scary can you get? You know, people talk a lot about our fast-paced culture. You know, how folks nowadays, they don't like to wait. Click, order, send, comment, deliver, text, get directions, post. All that takes only 5 minutes, when before it would take days. We don't really need patience anymore too much. We've got fast tracks, express lanes. Why write a cursive F, you know, when you can just pluck it on a keyboard? We even have door close buttons on elevators. Yeah. Why do we have door close buttons on elevators? Did you know the door will eventually close by itself? They did a study, of course they did a study. I don't know who funds all these things, but anyway, they did a study that type A people always push the door closed button. That they want to save that millisecond, make sure that those doors can close just a little faster. I was guilty. I push it all the time, hurry things up a bit. And, you know, the irony is that these time-saving devices, rather than increasing our ability to be more productive and enjoy life, which is why supposedly we create these things, it's not happening. We're less productive today than we were 50 years ago. It's interesting. It's hard to understand patience, though, when patience isn't really a part of our culture. And we don't do delayed gratification well. Everything's at our fingertips. And so we expect God to come along with us on our fast-paced culture run with the click of the pad or the touch of the screen. You know, like God's some kind of a cosmic iPhone, right? Now, the meaning of patience in Scripture is not sitting there drumming our fingers on God's counter, wishing God would snap to it and get in touch with our culture. Biblical patience is not a kind of glazed over apathy, giving up on God either. Rather, biblical patience is courageous endurance in expectation of God's action. Let's say that together. Biblical patience is courageous endurance in expectation of God's action. And this courageous endurance with expectation of God's action is vividly illustrated in Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19, that Matthew read so well for us this morning, which I think we should commit this to memory. Let's read this together too. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no grain, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, and I stopped it right there. It's a pretty dismal picture, right? The writer's painting here. Every staple of life that the ancient person relied on is now gone. Fruit and fields and flocks and herds and oil, used for medicinal purposes sometimes, gone. And there's nothing left. The writer of this passage is essentially destitute. And the psalmist says, when nothing is blooming or growing or flourishing, verse 18 says this little word, yet. Yet. Read this with me. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. Do you see that courageous endurance here and the joyful expectation? God is the God of salvation. He will come through for me. God is my strength, not the herds, nor the flocks, not the olives, not the grain. And it's when there's nothing left, no crutches, no distractions, and no finite securities, that we can really find out just how faithful God is for us right now. Let me tell you, as people of faith, you never want to waste those times in your life when the fig tree does not blossom, okay? You never want to waste those times in your life when there seems to be no fruit on the vine. You never want to waste those times when you are having a wilderness experience, because it's in those times that God says, have patience, wait, breathe, trust. You see, you want to use every hardship in your life as an opportunity, yes, an opportunity to build your faith and strengthen your dependency on God. So every time the situation looks desperate, it's a new chance to trust with courageous expectation. So let's say this again. Biblical patience is courageous endurance in expectation of God's action. You know, sometimes we can live in suspended animation, in anxiety. Like I said, drumming our fingers on the counter in our minds, if you will. Maybe we're drumming, but for different reasons. Because none of us knows what the future holds, but certain circumstances can and do make us more anxious, less patient. So, for instance, if you've been laid off and you're not sure what's next, what that new job, when that new job is going to open up, what that's going to be like, you know, how are the pieces all going to fall into place? You can be anxious about that. Less patient. And some of you are sick and your future health recovery is uncertain and you're discouraged and you're waiting for the next doctor's visit, the next medication, the next test. And some of you are just trying to get through school or certain job requirements in order to achieve the actual level of training that you want to be at. And there's all kinds of exams and tests. You can't wait until it's over and you can really do what you want to do, but it's a drain, a pain, and you're exhausted and you become anxious. Others of you are living on a fixed income and you're not sure how you're going to make ends meet from month to month. And we want to pray, you know, do something, God, please snap to it. Come on, let's find a solution to all of this now. I want patience, I want it now, you know. However, given who I am, as many of you know, I'm a true coffee lover. This quote was very key to my understanding of life and patience. And it's this: we are too often double espresso followers of a decaf sovereign. When I used to pray for something twice in a row and nothing seemed to be happening, I used to never trust. I'd always panic instead. And I was like the child, you know, in the back seat of a car. If you've ever traveled with a toddler or a young child, you know this. This teeny, that little window view in the back seat they have, the car seat straps digging into their chest. And all the child can see is that little window. And the parent has the GPS, sees the whole map on the screen in front of them. And the child keeps asking, "Hey, are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And the adult is not there quite yet and knows the entire journey from a completely different vantage point. The adult in the car knows the journey in terms of miles and sees the end from the beginning. The adult knows the joy in store for the child once they get to the great place where they are going. The reason they're on the journey is because the adult wants the child to fully enjoy their destination, and the journey is the means to that end. And the child knows the trip only from the back seat, from that little teeny tiny back seat window view. The child sees only fields and farms. It gets tired of these. 2 minutes later, they ask again, "Are we there yet?" I get impatient with God, just like that little kid, and I've been known to panic. But know this, that God's voice to you is never frantic. God does not panic. When you are desperate or have anxious thoughts, you can know that is not God speaking to you in no uncertain terms. The reason we panic is because we don't have the whole map. And if we did, we wouldn't know how to use it anyway. It would be incomprehensible to any of us, just like a GPS would be to a small child who can't read yet. It would be ludicrous for the parent to answer the child's, "Are we there yet?" with, "Well, here, throw the GPS in the back. You figure it out," right? Although if they're a little older, they're probably better than we are. We can't see the end from the beginning. God does. In fact, that's God's name. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last in the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. And when you are not only holding both the beginning and the end, but you are the beginning and the end, you are never in a hurry as if time were scarce. When you created time, you don't rush around as if you don't have enough of it. You get the whole picture, right? We're the ones that want the quick answer. And God says, slow down. I am creating a masterpiece. There is no hurrying. A brilliant artist. As Leonardo da Vinci told people who became impatient with his work on the Sistine Chapel ceiling, he said, "It is when I pause and wait that I then make the most telling marks with my brush." And folks, please know, what we patiently wait for is not more important than what happens to us while we are waiting. Did you hear that? What we patiently wait for is not more important than what happens to us while we are waiting. Because learning to wait can be a process of spiritual formation, right? That allows us over time to become the people God wants us to be. Each time we wait and learn that our waiting is always met with God's faithfulness, patience comes a little bit easier the next time. We learn a little bit at a time. And we're formed. We're formed. We learn to trust God maybe for a little longer next time. Are we there yet? Asked the Hebrews, wandering in the desert. Not yet, said the Almighty. Before I make you a mighty nation, let me send you manna and quail. Let me lead you with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day so that you can learn to love me and depend on me. And Scripture says God led them by a roundabout way. And the Hebrews learned patience. God was in no hurry. Are we there yet? Asked Joseph, sitting for years in prison, betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. Not yet, said the Almighty. Before I make you second in command to Pharaoh, there's a little more dreaming I want you to do, Joseph, and a little less boasting. And Joseph learned patience. Are we there yet? Cried Job in agony, sitting in ashes with boils covering his body. Almost, declares God, I'm going to restore your fortunes four times over and let you see my face. But just hang on, because I knew your suffering wasn't going to make you curse me. Just keep on a little longer and prove me true. And Job learned patience. Are we there yet? Cried St. Paul as he's beaten with rods, shipwrecked, hungry, and hunted by those who oppose Christianity. Not yet, declares the face of Christ before him. You must make witness to Caesar. You must suffer some more for my sake, but let me strengthen you for that with my Holy Spirit. And Paul learned patience. God was creating a masterpiece in each one of these situations, and God is creating a masterpiece in you. There is a story of a man who found out that a penny was the same as $1,000,000 to God, and a minute the same as 1,000 years. And the man says to God, "Will you give me one of those pennies?" And God says, sure, no problem. Just wait a minute. So sometimes we impatiently push, you know, that elevator door button, that close button, that elevator door close button on God and declare, God, you're just not listening. You've given up on me. When in essence, the opposite is true. God is so invested in you. God can't give up. God's got the whole map. We've got a little teeny tiny window view. Hang on just a little bit longer, God's telling some of you today. I'm creating a masterpiece in you. Trust me. I will come through for you. We're almost there. Patience. Paul said, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So whatever you're waiting for today, wait with patience as you recommit yourself to the God who holds the end from the beginning, who's deeply invested in you and utterly faithful, utterly faithful. You know, it's this season of Lent. Ash Wednesday was last Wednesday, and maybe that's a good thing to do this Lent, spiritual practice, to learn to wait and trust expectantly for God to act in your life. Let's say it together one more time. Biblical patience is courageous endurance in expectation of God's actions. And see, this kind of patience says, I know there's a better thing coming than what I can see around me right now. I might not have the whole map in front of me, but I trust the driver that the destination is going to be awesome. And in a moment, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, and Jesus, of course, was our prime example of patience, because it says in Scripture that Jesus patiently endured the cross. Scripture tells us that he could have called 10,000 angels. They could have rescued him from that cross. His deliverance from the cross was only a prayer away. And yet Jesus chose to hang there for us. It was an act of will. It was an act of courageous endurance in expectation of God's action. And what was God's action? Well, first it was the resurrection. But the big picture was that all of us would be able to have a personal relationship with God, our Creator, in a new way, because by Christ's blood we are forgiven of our sins and the dividing wall of hostilities broken down. So as we take the bread and the cup this morning, please do so gratefully, maybe pondering a little bit more about what Christ did for you on the cross, patiently enduring it, staying on the cross as an act of will, because he knew God was faithful. He knew God would work it for resurrection. He knew that all of you would be sitting here today. He knew that all of you would seek his face. Just be grateful to Jesus today as we take communion. Let's go into prayer. Lord God, thank you for who you are. And thank you that you are so invested in us that you sent Jesus Christ. You sent your own Son. You gave yourself for us, Lord, when we could not do it on our own. You gave yourself for us as a sacrificial lamb so that we could be cleansed and made whole. And Lord, as you patiently endure the cross, may we patiently endure whatever circumstances are before us. May we never waste a crisis, Lord. May we never waste a trial. Help us to see them as a chance to expect great things from you, to trust you a little more, just as Jesus trusted you on the cross. As we take communion now, we pray, Lord, that you would set these elements apart from a common to a sacred use, that we might experience your love and your grace in a new way, that we might be profoundly touched by your Holy Spirit, that our hearts might be opened again to your great love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant," or the new agreement, "in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it, because as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. We ask that when you receive the bread, you take it individually as a sign of your personal relationship with God. And that when you receive the cup, you hold it, and we'll all take it together as a symbol of our unity in Christ. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Be grateful today as you partake. God loves you, is invested in you, invested enough to send you Jesus. The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us drink together. Amen. Go out in the peace and rest of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us to trust him, who calls us to trust him with expectation, who calls us to trust him with expectation because he is always faithful. Go and bring his life to the world. Amen.